You've already detected that Zwingli placed another authority above the scriptures. And I want to say at this point that whenever anybody ever attempted to refute the Anabaptists, the first thing they had to do was limit the power, limit the authority of the scriptures. How do you do that? You do that very simply by raising up something else on an equal or higher basis. As soon as anything else, any organization or any entity of power comes in to assert supreme authority here, you should know the anathema that is going to produce. I want to give a quotation here, if I may, from Martin Luther's life. He said these words as he was on the way down to the Diet of Worms, where he was supposed to defend himself. Worms was a city, by the way, and not crawly animals. Where he was being challenged for his hammer tappings up there at Wittenberg's door in 1517. Here is Luther's statement, word for word. Of course, it's translated in English. I do not read German. If the emperor desires a plain answer, he was asked, are you going to recant and denounce your position, and will you accept the papal bull that comes out of Rome, or what will you do? And of course, that letter that came to him, he kindled a fire right there in his town square and burned it in the presence of his people. If the emperor desires a plain answer, I will give it to him. It is impossible for me to recant unless I am proved to be wrong by the testimony of Scripture. My conscience is bound to the Word of God. It is neither safe nor honest to act against one's conscience. Here I stand. God help me. I cannot do otherwise. That is a clear position, brother. There Martin Luther decided, yes, the scriptures are supreme. I appeal to the scriptures. There is no higher court of appeal. But that man himself ended up killing Anabaptists, putting them to death before the whole experience was finished. How was it possible? How did it happen? I remind you, whosoever attempted to refute the Anabaptists began by limiting the authority of the scriptures. Catholics themselves said that the reformers were defending themselves against the Anabaptists with arguments which, if used consistently, would drive them right back into Catholicism. And as soon as we raise any group or authority or power supreme over the scriptures, we'll do the same thing that Catholicism is doing all the while. We are final. We are the answer. God forbid. Now, I'm recommending this afternoon that the question we're facing, and the question they faced there, which gave rise to the Anabaptist movement, bringing this to conclusion, was this question. Would you listen? Who is a Christian? If you and I can capture a vision from God's Word this afternoon of the answer to that question, then we have feed for our souls. Then we have a reason in our hearts why Anabaptism returned to an apostolic model in the 16th century. And we have then a goal for which our own lives and families should be receiving, should be embracing. May I give you three answers to that question, who is a Christian? Here's a Reformed answer. Luther didn't believe. Here's another Baptist answer. I'm sorry this chalkboard is making so much noise up here. Catholics say, the Christian is the person who receives grace through the priesthood. I wonder if any of you ever heard of sacrament. Have you ever heard that word sacrament? A sacrament is any means, any activity, any church function, any rite or ritual by which I communicate or channel grace from God into your heart. You become saved by grace. We all know that. And so you receive this grace for your salvation through the observance of the sacrament. As I lay my hands on you, pour holy heavenly water upon you, offer the bread to your tongue as we share in that mass service time by time, you're receiving the holy grace of God into your life. And he who receives that is saved. He is a Christian. He received grace through the priesthood. How does that definition line up with the scriptures? The Reformed people had another one. Read it. Who is a Christian? He who enjoys the inner experience of grace by faith.
Isn't it wonderful? Into my heart, God has done all this little thing. Why, I don't need to be baptized with water. I don't need to have this wafer put in my tongue. I don't need to watch this priest. I don't need to confess to him. Why, God, there's this nice little thing in my heart, and I've got the grace of the Lord right within me. Oh, it's such a good thing. It's such a wonderful thing. And I'm a Christian now. I have his grace by faith in my heart.
I would like you to look yet at a third alternative.
Understand. Who said, he cannot know Christ save he who follows him in his life. What does it mean? He is no Christian except he who has been with Christ to his cross. He who has been there to have his life changed. Who is now a disciple living under the power and influence of the resurrected Lord. He is no Christian save he whose life has been changed.
I'd like you to turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. I have another interesting chart I'd like to put on the board, but time does not permit that this afternoon, and so I'm going to skip that, possibly give it to you later, but if you don't get it, it won't really matter. Perhaps I can duplicate it on a sheet and give it to you some other way or some other time.
But there's a very interesting way to show, in picture method, show graphically these three experiences defined on paper, or with the blackboard and chalk. I'll try and do it for you another way. If you're finished with this, I'd like to write another word on the board. And possibly I can just write it down here if you run in the back and see it. I'd like to write the word that was the center, the core, the heart of John the Baptist's message in chapter 3. That word was this. Metanoia. It comes from two Greek words, a prefix and a suffix, and here they are. Meta and noia.
What do these words mean? It was when John the Baptist was preaching in verse 8, when he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for metanoia, meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have been saved by the vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers. We have been saved. We are Abram's children because we have built a model based upon someone else's model, who based it upon someone else's model, who based it upon a former model. No. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is laid down. He's going to check it out to see whether or not you have the fruits of the life of God in your heart. Metanoia. What does it mean? Meta is a Greek prefix meaning from one thing to another thing. All of you know, I think, most of you would know, a very, very large Greek word that begins with the same prefix. The word is the same thing that happens when a butterfly emerges from a chrysalis, when that beautiful monarch comes out from that chrysalis there at the time of metamorphosis. Change, transformation, metamorphosis. Meta means from one thing to another thing. From here to here. Now, what is moving from here to here? What is going from this experience to that experience? Why, the nous is moving from here to here. What is nous? Well, that word in Greek means the very essence, the very core of one's inner being. I think it's the best word the Greeks had to call, to name what you and I call the heart of a man. The heart, my heart, dear brothers and sisters, has moved from this to this. There has been a transformation. The Bible calls it a renewal of the what? A renewal of the mind. There's been a complete change from one to the other. And until I've experienced that metanoia, until I experience that the change of heart, a renewal of mind, there yet remaineth no life in me. Turn to John. Well, excuse me, you're in chapter 4 and 3 now. In chapter 4, Jesus taught, believe me, the exact same message. From that time, Jesus began to preach, verse 17, to say, repent, metanoia, the verb form instead of the noun form in this case, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' message was the same, John 15. Here, brethren, is the issue. Here is what separates the Corpus Christianum, which is the Christian body. Christian because all of the world, all of this political area is all Christian because they're all Catholic.
or because they're all Lutherans, or because they're all Reformed, or because they're all any other name you put in there. All these people are Christians now. Corpus Christianum. The whole thing is Christianized.
By the way, an interesting note from the times of Augustine. You know who that great theologian was? Do they call him great? Who taught Calvinism long before Calvin was ever born. Augustine and the Reformers had this unique view of the millennium. Those of you who love prophecy, you'll be interested in this quotation. They taught that the millennium was what was happening in their time when they saw the whole Roman Empire become Christian. The millennium in our time. The whole empire is now Christian. That's what Reformers believe. That's what Augustine believed. That was the millennium to them. When the state becomes Christian. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who is the child of God? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, I have this concern this afternoon. I want to ask you this question. The question is this. In what you are calling, whatever you are calling the church today, in that body, set it before your eyes, has everyone experienced a from-to situation in their hearts? Is every one of those people that you're including in the Church of Jesus Christ this afternoon, in your concept, is every one of them living the fruit of righteousness? Are they bringing forth fruit? I'll give you an illustration. We had a young man who we were working with who had made a profession of having his sins forgiven and wanted to be part of a church. Claimed salvation, claimed that the Lord had worked a work in his heart, and yet was having serious struggle in his life. And so I gave him this thought to ponder. Now would you put this thought right into your own mind and work it over in your own experience? I said, here you are, you're called into a home where there's a young Catholic father, 23 years of age, with his young wife. Now they were married when they were 17 years old, and they now have 4 children. They've been raised in Catholicism, and their family is firmly entrenched in their local diocese. But they are hungry for God's word. They are disturbed apart. Something is wrong. They got a little bit of a taste of God's word somewhere. Somehow they got a breath of the Holy Spirit of God as it blew across his children. And they were startled by what they observed. They wanted that for themselves. And now they're asking, explain to us the way of God. Teach us this holy way. Come and teach us. I asked this young man if he would go along and sit there in that home and share the fruits of God, the wine of Almighty Holiness with those people. I asked him what they would have to say. He looked at me and he said, nothing. Nothing. What am I telling you? If you have had a metanoia experience, if your heart has moved from here to here, if your heart has changed and no longer a part of this world but transformed by the inner workings of the Spirit of God, and you're abiding in that vine, then your life will bring forth fruit that will be a blessing to such souls as this in this world. You can help them and encourage them and strengthen them, for you have found peace in your own life and you're able to share it then with somebody else. The Bible is full of that kind of teaching, full of that kind of challenge. And I think it's time that we get back to a Bible definition of who a Christian is. It is he who brings forth fruit unto God. And anything less than that is here, or it is here. It is not here. And so the split came, and the baptism was born, because they got a vision of what the Bible taught a child of God really to be. That's why Anabaptism was born in the 16th century. And I'm asking, is it asking too much for every member of our fellowship to be born again of the Spirit of God and filled with the Word of the Lord? And I am aware that there are all kind of external requirements that I can make of you, and you can go to Rubens' department store and meet every one of them before the day is over, or you can go right down the road here one block, or you can go through some other rituals that you conform yourself to some position. There are some things that you and your brother or sister cannot do. You cannot let the word of God dwell in you richly with all wisdom. You cannot let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. You cannot let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That you cannot do, but that is the work of God. That is the evidence of birth. That is metanoia. That is repentance. That is change of heart. And until you and I have that, anything else is less than the Corpus Christi, less than the body of Christ. It is something else. I will close this discussion by reading a few words of someone who very aptly penned this life in action. The Anabaptist vision was not a detailed blueprint for the reconstruction of human society. They knew better than to expect that you can reform all society. But the brethren did believe that Jesus intended that the kingdom of God should be set up in the midst of earth, here and now. And this they proposed to do forthwith. We shall not believe, they said, that the Sermon on the Mount or any other vision that he had is only a heavenly vision meant but to keep his followers in tension until the last great day. But we shall practice what he taught, believing that where he walked, we can by his grace follow in his steps. Brothers and sisters, I invite you, I welcome you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in steps such as that.
Praise the Lord. We want to give a little time for some open discussion, some questions. I think we'll give that right now. Maybe someone has a pressing question, maybe something is on your mind at any part that Dale touched. I think I'll give a little time for that. I have some things I want to share. Do you have any questions on anything that has been... Or any comments? Any corrections? Anything to strengthen what was said? Or yes? Continual abiding. Anyone else?
I would like to get to that second one.
All right. Just going to bring a few thoughts together. I think the idea that we need a synthesis between this inner experience and an outward expression, an outward daily living, is that's half of what you would say, I guess. This here is half. Needs to come out in shoe leather in the life. All right. Anything more on that or anything else?
That's true. That's his term of right. It's just if they thought they could do that and not have it expressed, well, then that would be quite important. If they stopped there, something could be more difficult.
Right.
Wasn't the scripture in Romans 7 misused by these people that I myself serve the spirit of my flesh serve the law of sin? I didn't put it right, but they were teaching that in their spirit they could serve God, but with their flesh they would be serving sin.
All right. Dale, you have any comment on that? What led them to this position? reformers.
Well, the difference between Thomas Munster's theology of the cross and the Anabaptist vision of theology of martyrdom to many here. And right here is Brother Daniel's question. Their view on theology of the cross taught this, that as long as I have to be a Christian, there's always a struggle with me. I never can do what I want to do, always have to do what I don't want to do, and that's just one of the things I carry to be a Christian. That struggle is part of me. That's Romans 7, that's the Romans 7 struggle, put into theological terms. The theology of the cross, that's what they call it. That was Thomas Munster, who was a follower of Martin Luther, that was his position. But the Christian life is not a continual struggle with what I want to do and can't, and ought to do and can't. And if that's the way we're living in a heated life. That was the theology of the cross that the reformers taught for the English Church.
Anything else? Just a few other things to. This doesn't necessarily close open discussion. This opening introduction on back to the original. Appreciated that. Back to the original. Are we afraid of it? I believe it's a tendency of all of us to look back on our frame of reference, we call it, I guess, and our experience in the past and try to pick out what we feel was about right. And I think that's one reason we come out at so many different ends when we're all done. And I'm not afraid to look back to here. And if we're honest and open as we do that, I believe the Spirit of God will bring us together. The Anabaptists were men. They made their mistakes. And so are we. And that is another reason why we have to constantly go back to the original. The other points that are highlights to me, the difficulty of defining this Anabaptism. These men didn't live very long. And I've had to wonder how it is. It's been a question that has been a difficulty to my own experience. How it is that we live so easy and so well and so unmolested in this wicked world. I wonder. It is of one of two things that God is simply, I've said it this before, it's simply one of two things that God is showering His grace upon us, giving us this time to go from coast to coast and around the world with the gospel, with the freedom and all that we enjoy here in America. Or it is an indication that we're out of tune with God and we're simply here pleasing men, and that's why we get along. One of those two, maybe a combination of those two. Many opposed infant baptism, Anabaptists the first to practice it. This house could be filled today with people who would acknowledge and lament and do a lot of things. But you know, even in our day, it's going to separate the men from the boys to live it. Yes, brother.
Have our program divided.
Bible study week after week in our tight little circle, known over among ourselves, saying that most of us have already heard it and read many times. And while people by the thousands all around us are speaking, we are not knowing what it is all about. The background of this man was, he had not nothing of an Baptist history. He was converted as a result of tract and visitation work. And a Baptist influence had a part in it with the Mennonite bishop that led this man to Christ. But this statement he made, and if you notice her reaction to it, why can't we just see it? And a little further on, she says, why can't we just see it? Yes, he has one background. He needs more of our history. He needs to be indoctrinated. Why can't we just come on and live a life of living? And then he backslid. She says in here that her indifference toward his burden, she believes, contributed partly to his backslide. He spent 7 years back in Kent, and when he was converted, he had been deceived. And he was backslid. And he committed his life. Found the Lord new. During that period is when she gave herself to yielding to this need and willingness to accept it. But I like to say, I think this is an illustration of the original coming forth in the life of an individual who was truly converted, not cultivated.
Yes, I believe Brother Ralph is going back to the original, and he went out and done it. I was challenged by that book myself. Appreciate that. Okay. Anyone else? I'm simply going to close this then and my personal burden. Then we'll turn the meeting back to Brother Mose to close whatever he plans. And I'm sure we can share more. The question boxes will be here. And we'll look forward, Lord willing, to some more times together. One of the closing points here. Hugh's life had been changed by the cross. I'll share a bit of poetry that's blessed to me if I can get it together completely. The song. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today while as ransom ones we sing. And this is none other than the banner of the cross. He goes on and says, though the foe may rage and gather as the flood, let the standard be displayed, and beneath its folds as soldiers of the Lord for the truth, be not dismayed. Over land and sea, wherever man may dwell, make the glorious tidings known. Of the crimson banner now the story tell, while the Lord shall claim his own. When the glory dawns, 'tis drawing very near, it is hastening day by day, then before our King, the foe shall disappear, and the cross, the world shall sway. Marching on, brother. Marching on, sister. For Christ, count everything but loss. And to crown him king, we'll toil and sing neath the banner of the cross. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified unto the world and the world unto me. Does it bother us? It should. Today, I said we... How is it we live so long? Are you moved that Catholicism has run rampant since the time of the Reformation? The persecution ceased. Catholicism has touched every land. Someone has said, Leonard Ravenhill in his book said that if we would just take a position where we ought to against Catholicism, persecution would again be. Does it concern us that a twin evil of communism is enveloping this world? Yes, you can include a lot more, brother. You include what you will. The cults and the isms, they're out there doing it. My burden is somehow, I said to brother not long ago, I cannot say that I've fought a good fight, that I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. Somehow that the Lord would rend the heavens and come down and that the church would be restored to a force that's to be reckoned with in the world. That is my burden. I have no other goals, no other ambitions, save that for God's glory. And somehow, the reason I identified with this assembly and with this effort is for that very purpose. That somehow, out of all this, forget the men, forget who's teaching, and forget who's running the thing, if you want to put it, who's directing it. Let's have that goal that somehow the church will be restored to her power in this day for the saving of many souls to the glory of God.
Thank you, brother. Leonard Ravenhill Father says, please, God, if you can't do it with us, then please bypass us and do it with someone else. Challenge is ours. I could duplicate something here. Underneath is Anabaptist. Remove all the knowledge of the Reformation and of the Anabaptist movement and burn all the books and confiscate them all by KGB officials in Russia in the last 40 years and burn them all and get rid of them and ask 500,000 people to rise up and live this same thing. And you'd find out whether they're duplicating or whether they're going back to the original. And my testimony from what I know is that they found the original. That blesses me. We look back at this thing and we talk about duplicating or about what we're going back to the original. And over there, extant today, it is. I can tell you that. Maybe not exactly. Of course not, full of also having its weakness and faults, but it is alive beyond our comprehension and growing to which no man can number or no man can take a census of it. Appreciate this witness, and that, I guess, I must say, changed my life. When I saw a group of people that were prospering to that extent with spirits and with personal purity that I couldn't come near to, without a knowledge of church history. There, even though many of them had Mennonite background, the books were burned. The histories were confiscated. And they only had one source, and that's to go back to the Word, the Holy Scriptures, and start over in 1956, after most of the old men and all of the ministers practically were put to death in the starvation camps of Siberia. All right, we didn't ask for a building this big, but as you can see, there's a lot of room here. So for the coming weeks, feel free to invite whoever you want to. This is an open meeting. It is non-denominational in the fact that we, as Brother Dale, as a committee, don't feel the necessity of lifting up a particular denomination or protecting that, but simply to let this thing grow in our heart. So it doesn't matter who comes as far as we're concerned. Well, as long as they're respectful and reverent, and let them live and learn as we have done today. My heart's thrilled. I guess I have a lot to soak up. And I'm just blessed very much with your presence in making this meeting possible.